continues at all.
Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent says tonight's forum on drug abuse at the Carl Perkins Center is a continuation of the dialogue that began last month at the Conference Center. Human remains found in Martin County last week have been identified. And Mitch McConnell sizes up the challenges facing the next president. In sports, Toronto and Baltimore play the AL wildcard game tonight. Bud Luke has the Stocks. Mostly clear this evening, low in the lower 60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news. The human remains that were found September 27th in Martin County have been identified. Kentucky State Police say the body was that of 37-year-old William Scotty Fannin, who went missing last December. According to WYMT, the state medical examiner's office will continue testing to determine the exact cause of death. The investigation is ongoing. The recent death of a Maysville woman may have been the result of a drug overdose. The Maysville Ledger-Independent reports 20-year-old Jaslyn Dudley of Maysville was found at a friend's house on Friday. Officials are awaiting toxicology reports, but Mason County Sheriff Patrick Boggs says every indication at the scene points toward an overdose. Boggs and the county coroner David Lawrence say heroin laced with fentanyl may have been the cause of Dudley's death. WSAZ is reporting that a Lucasville father and daughter are behind bars in Portsmouth, accused of drug trafficking and possession of narcotics. 60-year-old Harold Bauer and his 34-year-old daughter Crystal are held in the Scioto County Jail. He is charged with aggravated trafficking in heroin, and she faces charges of aggravated possession of fentanyl. The Carl Perkins Center in Moorhead will give the public another chance tonight to discuss possible solutions to the area's problems with heroin and other drugs. Center for Change will host the 6 o'clock event. Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the Ashland-based counseling service will provide some much-needed information about recovery and addiction.
Nationwide, you see a shortage of this, a shortage of that, as far as where it's beds or whether it's counseling or whatever. But we feel like that once we bring them to the table and hear what they have to say, potentially this provide more options for folks who need to seek that. Because that's the big key is long-term rehabilitation. You know, it's not something that's going to be a short-term or a quick fix.
Trent believes tonight's event will be a good follow-up to the forum on the area's heroin problem that was held last month at the Moorhead Conference Center. Maysville police took two people into custody while serving a warrant for a known fugitive. More on that story from MSPR's Sean Delaney.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, the Maysville police received a tip that an escaped inmate was hiding in town. As officers approached a home on East 5th Street on September 29th, they say they heard a woman shout, "The law is coming," shortly before 35-year-old Dale Valentine of London bolted out the back door. Two officers gave chase before tasing Valentine shortly thereafter. Valentine was wanted after escaping from the Knox County Detention Center while on work release in late April. He and 40-year-old Angela Lovell of Maysville were taken to the Mason County Detention Center. Both have since been released. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Sean Delaney.
Kentucky's overall economy is better than it was before the 2008 recession, but the recovery has been uneven and too heavily concentrated in the Lexington and Louisville areas. That's one thing on which the president of the Kentucky AFL-CIO and the chief executive officer of the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce agree. Bill Londrigan and Trey Grayson offered an overview of the state's financial condition Monday on KET's Kentucky Tonight. Londrigan says a study by the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy found that too much of the job growth in the Commonwealth was in low-wage occupations, and it was limited to less than a sixth of the counties.
We found that 25 counties accounted for all of the income growth, and the rest of them have been left out. So we've got a real mixed bag, so to speak, when it comes to the economy and what it's doing for workers.
We have, in Northern Kentucky, really low unemployment rate, close to 3%. But you're in Magoffin County, it's way higher. Plus, we have a lot of people who've just given up. So our unemployment rates, which on the whole, if you look at our statewide average, that number's not all that bad, but we have a very low labor participation right now.
Grayson says another problem with Kentucky's economy is that it lacks workers skilled in advanced manufacturing. The president of the Ashland Alliance is applauding the efforts of the Appalachian Regional Commission and others to provide nearly $15 million in federal grants to help rebuild eastern Kentucky's decimated economy. Tim Gibbs says it may take a while to find out which initiatives are successful, but they're worth the effort.
I guess history will tell us on how the dollars were applied and whether they made a significant difference. My guess is that some of them will be highly successful and some of them may not be. But we have to try things. We have to bring these resources to the table. These are resources that's been paid in to various funds and now are being redistributed in a way that they're trying to rebuild a new economy.
And Gibbs says that new economy has to have a natural resource base. Grants have been provided to retrain laid-off coal miners for jobs in fiber optics and to improve the medical school at the University of Pikeville. Broadband providers will be able to participate in a program that offers subsidized service to low-income households starting December 1st. The Kentucky Public Service Commission says broadband providers will become eligible for involvement in the Lifeline program and to offer subsidized service. The service can be wireless, cable, DSL, or fiber optic. The Lifeline program currently offers subsidies only for voice service. Subsidies will remain limited to one per household. Customers will have to choose federally subsidized service from a telephone or broadband service. A state subsidy is only available for voice service. Some states are turning to electric and hybrid vehicle registration fees as a way to raise more revenue for road and bridge projects. That's what a policy specialist with the National Conference of State Legislatures told Kentucky lawmakers during a hearing in Frankfort this afternoon. Kevin Pula testified before the General Assembly's Interim Joint Committee on Transportation.
10 states currently do this. Last year, Georgia, as part of their gas tax reform, implemented the highest electric vehicle fee in the nation at $200. And this is these are additional registration fees, in addition to the standard registration fee that a non-electric vehicle would pay.
Pula says Idaho and Michigan currently impose fees on hybrid vehicles. He says Virginia used to have a hybrid tax but repealed it after a public outcry. Revenues now being raised by such fees are insignificant, he says, because electric and hybrid vehicles represent less than 1% of those on the road. The U.S. Forest Service is renovating a road that leads to Rowan County's popular Lakiji Rock. Cumberland District Ranger Jonathan Kazmierski says the first round of planned repairs to 80-year-old Lakiji Road is already underway.
The Forest Service has about $11,000 we're putting into that road this fall. That work should be ongoing the next few weeks. At this time, the grading has been completed, and we are waiting for some culverts to be delivered, which should be installed in the next week or two, and then we'll also be bringing in stone. Most of this work is occurring up on the upper part of the ridge where we've determined people are using the road the most and using some of the pullouts along the road.
According to Kazmierski, even after that job is done, Lakiji Road will still need another $20,000 to $25,000 worth of upgrades. The Forest Service is contemplating ways to pay for that work. Kazmierski says officials hope when the project is finished that the improved road will help attract more visitors to Lakiji Rock. Kentucky's senior senator says the next president will confront three major challenges. Republican Mitch McConnell says the first two are comprehensive tax reform and trade.
And we need to do entitlement eligibility changes and quit sticking our heads in the sand and think that Medicare and Social Security are going to survive in the absence of some kind of eligibility adjustments that fit the demographics of America in the future and not the demographics of America in the 30s and the 60s.
The senator says his biggest disappointment with President Obama is that he has refused to move toward what McConnell calls the political center in order to reach a consensus on big issues. McConnell made his comments at a news conference in Washington. One proposed debate between Kentucky candidates running for U.S. Senate has been confirmed and another canceled. U.S. Senator Rand Paul's campaign said today that he accepted an invitation to debate Lexington Mayor Jim Gray on Kentucky Educational Television. That exchange will be televised live across the state on October 31st. Meanwhile, the League of Women Voters says that it will not hold a debate scheduled for October 30th at the University of Kentucky because Paul declined to participate. Gray had accepted the group's invitation. Rowan's judge executive doesn't think that the county's new 300-bed detention center will lack for prisoners. In addition to holding state inmates and those from Rowan County, Walter Blevin says contracts have been signed with seven neighboring counties to house their prisoners.
You've got Bath and Fleming, Morgan, Elliott, Menifee. I'm not sure Carter has signed one, but I think they have as well because they've got a jail. But now if they get overcrowded, they may need a place. So you've signed those contracts in Fleming County. So I think there's seven counties, Lewis as well. I think all those counties have signed contracts with us to handle, take care of their prisoners.
The State Department of Corrections pays county jails about $32 per day to house their inmates. Construction on Rowan County's new $18 million jail continues on U.S. 60 east of Moorhead. It's expected to open in early to mid-2018. Kentucky lawmakers will consider reducing the filing fee for felony expungement. That story from Paul Miles.
Democratic Senator Gerald Neal has pre-filed legislation that reduces the filing fee from $500 to $200 and would be way for the indigent. Lawmakers passed legislation earlier this year that allows Kentuckians convicted of low-level nonviolent felonies to ask the court to permanently expunge their records. Neal says the $500 fee is just too high. I'm Paul Miles.
Moorhead State University's president is stressing that the school's double-digit drop in enrollment for first-time freshmen this fall is partly by design. Dr. Wayne Andrews says the school has changed its admission standards to recruit students who are more likely to graduate.
We raised our admission index because we still were receiving too many undergraduate students for whom success here at this institution with their academic profile and other parts of the profile didn't make sense. So we anticipated that.
Andrews thinks the enrollment slide for first-time freshmen can be stabilized within 5 years. However, he says it'll take intense and hard work because the number of people living in Moorhead State's service region is in decline, and so is the population of Ohio, where MSU wants to step up its recruitment efforts. And finally this afternoon, the Ashland School District has hired a new finance chief. MSPR's Tilden Johnson has that story.
The Ashland Daily Independent reports that Kristen Martin has taken the job. Martin had been the finance director for the city of Ironton for the past 8 years. She is scheduled to start in Ashland on October 17th. She'll work with the current financial director, Tim Walters, until he retires in November. Martin graduated from Ohio University in Athens with a degree in accounting. Ashland School District Superintendent Sean Howard says Martin had been highly recommended. She'll take over the Ashland District's top financial post in the wake of some recent money issues. District officials ponder taking out a $750,000 loan to help it meet its payroll and other obligations. However, some federal money came in to help the school system avoid having to do so. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Tilden Johnson.
And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the counties of Rowan, Carter, and Mason. Tonight, mostly clear, low in the upper 50s. Wednesday, warm, sunny, highs in the lower 80s. Wednesday night, mostly clear, lows in the mid-50s. Thursday, look for sunny skies, highs in the lower 80s, and Thursday night, it'll be clear with lows in the lower 50s. Friday, sunny, highs around 80 degrees. Around the region this afternoon, it is 82 degrees in Ashland, 79 in Flemingsburg and Lexington, 80 degrees in Inez, 81 in Winchester and on the campus of Moorhead State University. sunshine, and 80 degrees. 445, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio, and it is mighty fine to have your company on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, new poll numbers show that a plan to use money from the Abandoned Mining Lands Fund to spur economic development in Appalachia has overwhelming support in the region. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre has more.
A new Sierra Club poll shows nearly 9 out of every 10 people living in Appalachia support a Kentucky congressman's plan to help communities impacted by America's shift away from coal. The Reclaim Act, introduced in the House by Somerset Republican Hal Rogers, proposes using $1 billion in money from the Abandoned Mine Lands Fund on economic development and diversification projects. Sarah Bolling, who grew up in Pikeville and is now in grad school in Lexington, says it would help both the environment and the economy.
It would clean up the mess that's left by mining, and then it would enable the population to get back to work, first reclaiming the land, and then in the economic opportunities that are provided on that reclaimed land site.
Registered voters polled in Kentucky and 6 other coal region states showed support across party lines, including 93% of Democrats, 89% of Republicans, and 84% of independents. Congressman Rogers currently has 20 co-sponsors, but Louisville Democrat John Yarmuth is the only other Kentucky representative. There is no companion bill in the Senate. Last week, Bolling and 3 other citizens from environmental groups went to Washington to lobby Kentucky's congressional delegation.
I'm definitely hoping that this may have changed the dialogue around reclaim and gotten some more people to consider jumping on.
Bolling says there's a misconception that using Abandoned Mine Lands Fund money could be in conflict with the Miners Protection Act. When he filed the Reclaim Act earlier this year, Congressman Rogers noted AML funds go unused because communities don't have the resources to reclaim abandoned mine sites. Kentucky has lost more than 11,000 coal mining jobs since 2009. Tom Sexton, an economic transition consultant to the Sierra Club's Kentucky chapter, says that's why support for the Reclaim Act is overwhelming.
Hopefully it'll also encourage some of these absentee landowners who have just been sitting on a lot of these properties for a long time to maybe do something with them so that some of these struggling coal counties can see some property tax revenues, other things like that.
I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
448, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and baseball's postseason gets underway this evening. Braxton will have that story and a lot more sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowland County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays and near the Morehead City Park. The Rowland County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud with homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and Senior Checks accepted. More information at 784-5457. The Rowland County Farmers Market is a certified Kentucky Proud Market.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Baseball's postseason starts tonight at 8 with the American League wildcard game as Toronto hosts Baltimore. The Orioles had to fend off Detroit at the end of the regular season to get into the playoffs, and catcher Matt Wieters says they earned their way in.
We got to play the game no matter what you say. You can look at other teams, other everything, but once the reality is you got to play. You got to get between the lines, and these men right here, they showed up every single day.
16-game winner Chris Tillman will pitch for Baltimore. The Blue Jays will go with 9-10 Marcus Stroman. Toronto went 10-9 during the regular season against the Orioles. Louisville will host its first ACC championship this spring. Will Clark reports.
After North Carolina's bathroom bill prompted the ACC to move its tournaments out of the state, the ownership team of the Louisville Bats made their move to host the 2017 ACC baseball tournament.
The ACC sent over some documents where we had to have certain things inside our ballpark, and we met those requirements with our AAA ballpark. So it was just something where we were lucky.
Bats spokesman Ryan Ritchie, this will be the first ACC championship to be played in the state of Kentucky. I'm Will Clark.
The Morehead State Football Eagles are getting ready to pay a Saturday PFL visit to longtime conference power Dayton. Saturday's win over Valparaiso improved MSU coach Rob Tenure's team to 2-3 overall and to 1-1 in the PFL, with two of those losses coming by a total of only 6 points.
Of course, we'd like to have a few of those games back, but you don't get a second opportunity. So, as I mentioned, we've got to take advantage of the opportunities. We've got to prepare each week for a new opponent, and we've got to go out and win that football game.
The Eagles fell at home last year to Dayton 20-15. The Flyers are 3-2 overall and, like Morehead, 1-1 in the conference. In preparing his team for Saturday's home game against Vanderbilt, Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops still wants his Wildcats to focus on ball security. UK had a costly fumble that resulted in an Alabama touchdown in last weekend's 34-6 loss to the top-ranked Crimson Tide. Stoops says he told quarterback Steven Johnson to protect the ball before that game, and his mantra isn't changing going into the contest against Vandy.
More of the same. Just continue to stress it and work it. He's got to go feel comfortable. He's got to execute and feel loose, but he's got to be smart as well.
The Cats host Vanderbilt at 4 p.m. on Saturday. The Round County football team will go for its first win of the year Friday when they host Boyd County. Round has scored just 30 points all season, but head coach Gene Peterson says he thinks his team can have success on the ground against Boyd.
This is a team that, you know, we can match up with fairly well and have, I think, some offensive success with it. You know, our running backs have just got to be a little more explosive and be able to find their way through traffic and be able to at least beat one guy when they get out in the open space.
Boyd County is 3-3 this year and coming off of a 55-7 loss to rival Ashland Blazer last week. Some notes from around the NFL. The Baltimore Ravens have released running back Justin Forsett in a move described as a mutual decision between the team and the veteran back. The Indianapolis Colts have released Pro Bowl cornerback Antonio Cromartie, and two-time NFL MVP quarterback Tom Brady practiced with the New England Patriots for the first time of the year after serving his four-game suspension for deflated footballs in the 2015 AFC Championship game. After watching his Eagles win 23 games last season, Morehead State basketball coach Sean Woods says it's time to look forward, not back. Woods says he has a new team this year, and that's especially evident when you consider two of his backcourt mainstays, Brent Arrington and Corbin Collins, are no longer wearing MSU uniforms.
I've had Corbin for 4 years. I've had Brent for 4 years. You know, especially at the guard spot, and we had great leadership. You know, we had guys that knew what to expect and to really relay it to the older guys or the new guys. But now, you know, we got some guys that have to step up in that role that's never had to do that, and it's going to be interesting.
Woods expects sophomore Malik Maitland and senior Xavier Moon to take over that leadership role, the leadership role left by the departure of Arrington and Collins. Both Round County soccer teams will hit the road tonight. Coach Alan Evans will lead his Lady Vikings, who have lost only once in their last 7 games, up to Greenup County to face the Lady Musketeers.
Don't know a lot about the Greenup County, but it will be an away game. Our district's away and region's away, so we get to practice that road trip, preparing for the game pregame, and then really trying to our last few new little systems that we want to run and work out the kinks.
As for the Round boys, they will visit Madison Southern. The Vikings' 13-5-1 record is tops the 16th region. And finally, in sports, tennis star Maria Sharapova has had her suspension reduced. AP correspondent Jack Briggs reports.
The suspension of Maria Sharapova will end in time for her to take part in the 2017 French Open. She was given a 2-year suspension by the International Tennis Federation for failing a doping test after the Australian Open. She appealed and the Court of Arbitration has ruled that the suspension be reduced to 15 months. The court said the Russian star did not intend to cheat. The suspension kept Sharapova out of this year's French Open, Wimbledon, and U.S. Open, as well as the Olympics. She'll also miss the 2017 Australian Open. This is Jack Briggs.
That's all for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle volleyball and soccer are home this weekend. Volleyball hosts Belmont at 7 p.m. Friday and Tennessee State at 2 p.m. Saturday. Soccer hosts Eastern Illinois at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Tickets and information available from the Morehead State Athletic Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed lower, pressured by a rising dollar, while investors digested data from the IMF and remarks from a Federal Reserve official. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 85.4 at 18,168.45. The S&P 500 was down 10.71 at 2150.49, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 11.22 at 5289.66. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. The dollar index, which measures the U.S. currency's performance against six other currencies, hit its highest level in almost 2 months and was up about 0.5% in today's trading. Overall, global growth is expected to expand at 3.1% in 2016, according to the IMF. That's unchanged from its July forecast, but advanced economies, which include the U.S., will slow this year to 1.6% growth, and that estimate is down from a forecast of 1.8% earlier in the summer. Gold futures for December delivery fell more than 3% to settle at $1,269.70 an ounce, posting its worst trading day since 2013. Deutsche Bank shares rose more than 2%, and this helped cheer overseas markets in Europe as most European stock markets were strong today. The British Financial Times 100 advanced 1.3%, even while the British pound hit its lowest level in more than 30 years. Earlier today, the IMF said uncertainty stemming from the so-called Brexit will dampen investor confidence, and it sees the United Kingdom expanding at only 1.8% this year and sees a deepening slowdown to 1.1% next year. On the crude markets, U.S. crude futures were up about 0.25%, finishing at $48.69 a barrel. And among S&P 500 stocks, your best performers were Hartford Financial and Salesforce, and your worst performers were Newmont Mining and Diamond Offshore. And among your Dow 30 stocks, J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs were the best performers, while 3M and DuPont were the worst. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down 1.25 at $113.40, CSX down 26 cents at $30.17, AEP down 1.34 at $62.17, AK Steel down 36 cents at $4.59, Marathon Petroleum up 42 cents at $41.38, and U.S. Bancorp was up 18 cents to finish at $42.84. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And here's a recap of the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mostly clear, low in the upper 50s. Wednesday, warm, sunny, highs in the lower 80s. Wednesday night, mostly clear, lows in the mid-50s. Thursday, sunny, highs in the lower 80s. Thursday night, clear, lows in the mid-50s. On Friday, look for sunny skies with highs around 80 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s, and then on Saturday, partly sunny with a 20% chance of showers, highs around 70 degrees. Around the region, it is 82 in Ashland, 79 in Flemingsburg, 80 in Inez, 79 in Lexington, 81 in Winchester, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 80 degrees. And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Arlo Barnett, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howe, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Adkins, Chaz Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre, and from the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles and Will Clark. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.
We're looking at a potential humanitarian disaster just from the infectious disease outbreak that could come from this volume of water.
As Hurricane Matthew makes landfall in Haiti, aid workers prepare for the worst.
For Tuesday, October 4th, this is All Things Considered.